Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
As the world-famous Phil Henry Show on this Friday night here, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. It's Friday night, Saturday morning now in some parts of the country, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so it doesn't matter what time it is, where you is, we is with you. And, right, bud?
Yeah.
I saw you starting to say something. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. We've got Phil TV and HD cranked up. You can watch us. You can listen to us. You can, I think we're the old Smell-O-Vision thing, man. We're always working on that. And don't forget that on Sunday night on Fox Television, the debut of Napoleon Dynamite, co-starring or featuring or understarring or sub-starring or however they say that stuff, you know.
Were you in the credits?
Yes, I'm in the credits. It's Napoleon Dynamite. It starts at 8:30, and there'll be another show at 9:30 following NFL football on Fox on the East Coast. It'll be immediately following that. And the word is that John Heder and Ephraim Ramirez, two of the cast members, are going to be appearing, I think, at some point during the Green Bay game, maybe, you know, interviewed by Joe Buck and the guys. So that ought to be a guess. And what else is happening? Well, a lot of stuff. You visit our website and get a backstage pass, you'll see what's happening. And there's a lot going on over there. Join us for our video cast and our podcast each day. Lots of news tonight, and some of it is very compelling and, I suppose, a very noteworthy. Nothing overly, I would say, there's no emergency. We did deal very, very, I think we dealt very well last night with the Marine Corps situation in Afghanistan. Tonight we're going to change directions a little bit. We do have Doug Danger standing by. He is an entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. And we're going to talk with him this evening about the Golden Globes that are going to be coming up here on Sunday night. Ricky Gervais will be hosting again. And we would just like to say, you know, on behalf of the Phil Henry Show, we're very happy to see Ricky Gervais hosting. We thought he was terrific last year. We were stunned and shocked, and we were just disgusted by all of the criticism that he received. We sent telegrams, and we were told just to F off. No, we weren't. I'm just kidding. But the fact is, I thought he was really funny. And I can't understand what the outrage. Doug, you remember last year all of that outrage? Was that just, what was that?
Well, Phil, listen, I think a lot of that, and I'm glad you brought that up. I think a lot of the so-called outrage about Ricky Gervais last year was a knee-jerk thing from the Hollywood foreign press and from, quite frankly, the American press to make sure that they were on the right side of some of these celebrities who might have had their feelings hurt. The first person to be heard from, Phil, last year after Ricky Gervais did what he did and said what he said, was Robert Downey Jr. You know, he had a...
Well, he had some comments right when he came out on stage.
Yeah, and he also had some things to say afterwards. And I think there were a few others. And they wanted to make sure that they did not run afoul of Robert Downey Jr. They wanted to make sure they didn't run afoul of any important people, because the pecking order in Hollywood 1 year ago tonight, or 1 year ago this weekend anyway, Phil, the pecking order did not include Ricky Gervais. Here's the big difference. This year, it does. So this year, you got to be careful. If you want to say something about Ricky Gervais, I would suggest very strongly that you know, be as careful as you were last year, not wanting to piss off Robert Downey Jr. And I'll tell you this much. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been writing about entertainment in this town for a long time, and I do it from a very, very unblinkered perspective, Phil. I don't edit my thoughts. I don't edit my feelings. I don't edit the things I say. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, that I'm looking last year at all these guys falling all over themselves, not wanting to offend Robert Downey Jr., I was with you. I said Ricky Gervais did a great job. It was funny. It was funny. Every time he opened his mouth, it was funny.
Well, I mean, some of the stuff is now classic, to be honest with you. even the stuff that didn't make it onto the stage, the fact that he originally, I think, was going to come out in a Nazi uniform and say that he'd got it out of Mel Gibson's closet?
Yeah, he was going to, yeah, and they did not allow that in the show. And I probably they were right in not allowing that in the show. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. So I've got a pretty good sense for what they're going to allow in the show, what they're not going to allow in the show. But nonetheless, it was a well-earned and well-deserved shot at Mel Gibson. And And I think it was a well-earned and well-deserved shot at some of the irresponsible behavior that Robert Downey Jr. has been engaged in sometimes in his life, even though he has, you know, he's pulled it together over the last few years. But I think we have to be able to laugh at ourselves. And I say, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've never been involved in any drug problems, Phil, so I wouldn't put myself in that part of the Hollywood scene. But I would say that I will include myself in us when Ricky Gervais takes shots at us.
All right, let's talk about the Golden Globes.
There is one other thing that I wanted to mention before we do that, if we could.
Okay.
One other thing, and I've mentioned it to Bud Dickman, and I wanted to talk, before we get into the Golden Globes, because it's very important. There are a lot of people that are going to be in limousines this weekend here in the Los Angeles area, and they are entertainers. They work in an industry. And here in our city, Phil, we have an industry that employs not just movie stars. It employs carpenters, technicians, electricians. It employs makeup people. It employs craft services people. It employs truck drivers. It employs stevedores, dock workers, people that handle equipment. It is an all-encompassing industry called the film and television industry.
Right.
And there are going to be a lot of people in limousines this weekend who deserve that limousine ride when they go to the Golden Globes Awards. A lot of them are going to be representing some of those technical people because they do give out technical awards as well as awards for the performance and producing. There's going to be a lot of people this weekend who will be in those limousines who've earned those limousine rides. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is over the last couple of weeks, I made some notes about a story that I'd done about 2 years ago. And I've got to hear Chip Saysburg, or Chick Saysburg, who's my night editor, wants me to do a story on these teenagers that are running limousines. And you're aware of that, right?
Yeah, teenagers that are renting limousines. You mean like for prom?
Well, as it turns out, you see a lot of kids that are renting limousines for all kinds of things. Either it's to prom, it's to homecoming, it's to, I dare say just to go get a pizza or just to have a date. But you see an awful lot of teenagers that are renting limousines and are doing that either with their own money or with the money of their parents. And I really think something's got to be said about it, Phil. In our city and all over America, there are performers, there are artists, people who are actors, actresses, who ride in limousines because that is a specific vehicle they need for their own security because of their notoriety. They need to be protected, and they also need to be noticed, I guess, if you want to put it that way, Phil, in a positive way. You don't want to see an actor in a AMC Hornet. You want to see an actor in a limousine. When you have teenage kids who are out in the world renting limousines, riding around in these things as if they somehow earned that, I think it's a disrespectful thing to see. It does not give, I think, the proper respect to a lot of very hardworking artists. It's also a lot of these kids that are trying to look like they're something. And
you're saying that these young people that rent limousines, whether they're teenagers or college,
well, it's mostly the teenagers.
They're trying to look like movie stars?
I think in their, I don't think they'd admit it, but I think deep down, I think subconsciously, they want to feel like there's something that belongs on a movie screen. I think it's disrespectful. And what I've done over the last couple of weeks, because what happened was Chick Saysburg said to me, if you're going to do this, I want you to write an article about it, because there were some people who called the night desk and had complained about me pulling these limousines over, and I don't pull them over. I just tell the driver, where are you guys pulling over? And or I ask him, he'll say, well, up here. I'll get out of the car. And
Wait. You're pulling over these limousines?
No, I'm not pulling them over. I'm asking, where are you guys going? And the driver will say, we're going up here to this store. I said, I want to talk to these young people. I'm a reporter. You know, I'm a gay man, the gay journalist for the Oregon Courier. I want to talk to some of these kids about the limousine. I'll get out. No, and that's when I took to really just telling these kids how I felt.
So when you're not pulling the car over, you're waiting till the limousine comes to a stop and the kids get out.
Either they get out or they stay inside, because some of them, I guess, are worried they don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to hurt you. All I want to tell you is this. you're all out here tonight in your limousine trying to pretend like you're movie stars, whatever you do, and you know that there's a whole community of movie stars that are driving limousines, you know, need these limousines. They need these limousines for protection. They need these limousines for transportation. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been a part of the Hollywood scene myself since I've been an entertainment writer. I said, why are you in a limousine? And they'll say, well, we rented it because we wanted to go on our prom. I said, that's fine, but this is not a car for you. I said, and I will tell them, you know, because I feel very strongly, Phil, and I don't want to hurt the kids, but I'll tell them. I said, I'm very personally disgusted seeing a bunch of kids, teenage kids, sitting in a limousine. So I went back to the desk, and you feel better about yourself. And Chick said to me, well, look, we've gotten complaints. I said, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't give a damn. And he said, well, listen, write an article on it. I said, well, all right. And
well, you know, there's a couple of things here I could ask you about, Doug. Number one, your philosophy or your belief that limousines are for movie stars aside, when you approach a limousine with young people in it and you're giving them this lecture, some people may think that that is a little dangerous kind of accosting of kids.
No, what do you mean accosting?
Well, they don't know who you are. I mean,
yes, they do. I tell them I'm Doug Danger with the Orange County Courier. I said I'm a gay man and a gay journalist trying to find out why you're in that limousine. And
well, do you tell them that you're writing an article?
Yeah. And they tell me, and I said, well, I want to tell you what I think because I know movie stars and I know people that are TV stars, and you look ridiculous, and you should not be in this limousine because the limousine is for those people.
Well, look, they can rent whatever they want.
No, I know that. So don't tell me something I don't. I already know that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist trying to say that this is, of course you can rent anything you want, but you can also look stupid doing a lot of things you want. And so that's my point. And I have started writing a series of articles. I'm going to write one article. Chick has told me that there was a complaint about parents, and I said I'll write one article, and I think that probably will explain my position on this. So that's going to be coming out Sunday before the Golden Globes.
Wow, I got to tell you something. I mean, I was going to talk about the Golden Globes with you, but I really want to stay on this topic, if you don't mind.
On the
topic of the limousine?
Well, that's fine, but I mean, I've said all I'm going to say about it.
Okay, but I've got a couple of questions, if you wouldn't mind hanging on, Doug. We are going to talk about the Golden Globes, but Doug Danger is with us. And in advance of the Golden Globes, limousines that are rented by the movie stars, the TV stars, and so on and so forth, they're also rented by teenagers, as you know, for proms, for dates, and so forth. Doug Danger, who writes for the Orange County Courier, has taken to pulling over or otherwise talking to the people riding in limousines and asking them, what are you doing in there? You're not a movie star. You're just a kid. I'm disgusted by you. 877-876-PHIL is our number. I want to ask him some more questions about this. 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, online at philhendryshow.com with our streaming video. We are having a phone issue, folks. Right now, the phone system, or the software, I should say, the phone system may be working fine, but I cannot bring any phones up remote because the software is not working. We may have calls that can be answered perfectly well at our control room, but here on in our studio, we can't. Doug, I apologize for that.
Believe me when I tell you, I was not expecting taking phone calls. You know, as I said to you, we're going to talk about the Golden Globe.
But more to the issue, if you don't mind, of this limousine.
Well, I mean, you can run your show any way you want. I think I've said all I wanted to say about the limousine situation. Simply this, if I don't know what phone calls you think you're going to get on this. I'm saying, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been writing about entertainment for a long time. And I'm saying to you that when a movie stars and TV stars ride in limousines, going to the Golden Globes, going to the Oscars, going to whatever, the People's Choice Awards, And by the way, Rihanna, your reaction to the People's Choice, if I may just say this, Phil.
Go ahead.
Rihanna's reaction to the People's Choice Awards. The People's Choice Awards, Rihanna, these are your fans and other fans voting for you. They're not members of the Academy. You act like the low-class, poor, untrained, unschooled girl that you are. You act like the young lady that came from no manners and no style, no grace, no tuition or education in how to handle yourself in public. You act every bit the rube that you are, Rihanna. I just thought I'd let you know that.
Well said. Well said.
Phil, those are the People's Choice Awards.
No, I absolutely agree. I've seen actors who have had far more class and grace, and they say, but, you know, I'm very grateful for this, and I'm very excited. I saw when one of the awards was given one year where the entire cast got up on stage and really had a great time, celebrated it with the fans. The fans were enjoying being in proximity with their favorite stars, so... You know,
I think it's a great time. It's a great opportunity for the fans to interact with the stars and vice versa. And you're absolutely right. I've seen artists and actors who enjoy doing that. So Rihanna, when she said, no, I'm going to go across the street and watch the Clippers, which I guess she probably knows about as much about basketball as I do. But Chris Paul's with the Clippers. So I don't know if you know this or not, Phil, but the Clippers are now the team, you know.
Yeah, well, guess what? I'm a Laker fan. Always will be.
Well, me too. But I just thought you'd like to know that you're falling out of. If you're not a Clipper fan, you're nowhere.
Oh well, that's just too bad, you know. Because one player, and even if they got Blake Griffin, I don't care who the Clippers have got. They suck as far as I'm concerned. I'm a Laker fan.
All right, so let me say this about the limousine thing. These kids that are in the limousines on a Saturday night or on a Friday night, they rent these limousines with their daddy's checkbook or their mama's credit card. They're riding around in a limousine with a driver that probably wishes he had. You know, adults in the back instead of a bunch of kids that are opening the sky, the sliding sky thing and sticking their head up. And
you said you were familiar with limousines.
I am familiar with limousines.
When you say opening the sky thing.
The sky, nobody knows what it's, Phil, it's called.
It's the sunroof.
Well, what, do you own a limousine or something? I don't understand.
No, I don't own a limousine. I have a car with a sliding sunroof.
Oh, you have a car with a...
You know, Doug, what am I supposed to say? Am I supposed to apologize that I got a car with a sunroof?
No, don't apologize. That's fine. I mean, you're one of those people. I'm defending you. And
don't defend me. I'm not a movie star or a TV star. I'm just a working stiff, okay? And
yeah, sure, you're a working stiff with a Jaguar. Now,
let me tell you something, man. I earned everything I got, so don't give me that stuff, all right?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist trying to lay it down, not for you. I'm laying it down for the people listening, that when your kid is out there renting a limousine or putting a credit card down on a town car, they think they're a movie star, and I'm telling you right now they're not. And
well, no kid, I don't think the parents think that they've got movie stars there. I don't think the kids think they're movie stars. You know, so what really is the problem here?
The problem is, Phil, when you give these kids the opportunity to ride around a limousine and with the tinted windows and they sit back like maybe they're John Jovi or that rock singer. What's the guy?
John Bon Jovi?
Yeah, I was trying to think of the guy that dumped Heather Locklear, but I didn't want to. I hope the guy's not listening because I don't want to set her off or anything.
It wasn't John Bon Jovi that, quote, dumped her. I think it was Richie Sambora, and I think she dumped him. But nonetheless...
All right, well, whatever it is, I'd like to tell these parents that what you're doing is you're setting these kids up for a fall because I'm going to, if I see them, I will say something.
Some parents may think that that's a little scary, Doug.
I'm not trying to scare anybody.
I mean, if you're walking up to a limousine full of kids and you're saying, hey, you have no right to be in this limousine... don't you think that that sounds, if you were a parent, if you had kids, don't you think that would be a little scary?
I don't think if the person identified themselves and it was a well-lit area and it was an individual who, I don't look like a bum, Phil. I don't look like a homeless guy. I don't look like a psycho. I look like a professional. And I carry my laptop and I have I've got my briefcase. And a lot of times I'm in the, I wear a hat that... is a normal hat. I wear I've got a pair of boots. They're UGG boots, and I wear it's one of those alpine hats that has a feather in it. So, in other words, I look like a reporter,
You're wearing Uggs and you have an L.
What are you laughing at?
I'm not, nothing. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. We'll see if the phones are working. I don't know. But we got Doug Danger with us as we talk about renting a limousine. You kids out there, you rent a limousine. You think you're a movie star? Well, Doug's going to set you straight. And you'll know him because he's wearing Ugg boots and an alpine hat with a feather in it. He looks just like any other normal guy going into Starbucks at night. The world famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Tomorrow night we will be local in the city of Los Angeles, but you can join us on Phil TV and HD if you'd like and watch the show that way. Our number here, 877-876-PHIL, and on the line with me is a longtime contributor to our program, Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. And we got a couple of people hanging on, Doug, that want to talk to you.
That was what I was going to say. I did not want to take phone calls on this issue because, I don't understand. Do you think there's something to debate here?
And, well, no. I suppose your method.
No. Hold on for a minute. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm a professional journalist, and I'm talking about something I know about. I know about Hollywood. I know about limousines. I know about how the movie stars and the TV stars travel. And I see these kids in the limos as they ride around, and they look like a bunch of little punk kids. You know, I'm not saying the kids are bad, but they look like a bunch of punk kids when they're in a limousine. And I think it's insulting to our great film stars and our great TV stars.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I still want to get to some phone calls here.
Well, that's fine if you want to, but I don't know what there is to discuss.
All right, 877, well, let's find out. 877-876-PHIL, go to... We do have Steve hanging on the line here. Steve, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for having me on.
Yes.
I've been listening on the way from home from work, and I'm an educated professional. And I was really trying to give this guy, reporter, a chance to make some sort of sense about what he was saying. And it really strikes me that he's trying to say that there's a sense of entitlement to movie stars to only be driving these limousines when children or teenagers should not be in them. And coming from a middle-class family and having good values and being trained well to save money in the right way, it was a celebratory thing when we were in high school to get a limo for the prom. And we all pitched in, and it was a great thing. It was a sort of a rite of passage. And I don't understand why this journalist continues to if I could finish, please.
I just didn't understand.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Why this journalist continues to browbeat these kids and tell them that they're not entitled to a limousine ride? He doesn't know what they're doing. He doesn't know what they have achieved in these moments. And frankly, him pulling over or trying to gain their attention and impose his ideals on children is quite bizarre. And the last point I'd like to make here is I don't understand why he's been on for, I don't know, approximately 20 minutes or so, and he's identified himself as a gay man and a gay journalist probably as many times as minutes he's been on the phone, and I don't see what that bearing has. Thank you very much for the call.
If homophobia is your main issue, then you could have said that at the beginning and saved us your whole soliloquy about this and that.
My point, your homophobia,
I'm a gay man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
That's great.
Okay.
Do I have to tell you my credentials every time?
No, you don't. I didn't ask you to, and you don't have to. That's what I do. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
You
can do whatever you want. When you say us, sir, I didn't know that you're speaking on behalf of some other people. Yeah, I'm here.
Listeners, I'm guessing it's more than just me. The guy's free.
In other words, Mr. Henry, you got a guy here that speaks for all your listeners. And
all right, Doug, I think the sarcasm, I understand what the gentleman's saying, and I think maybe the better thing to do would be to explain.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? I don't know what I got to explain. To the point of the kids in the limousines, I think it's even more clear that you've got these kids that are riding around. They think that they're whatever they think, you know, movie. You know, they think there's some kind of movie star, you know, whatever the hell. I don't know who these kid movie stars, who they like, you know, but they're out there, they're riding around, and they think they're in the Hangover.
Okay.
What?
Well, what's the point, man? I mean, if they're out there, they're riding around.
Because they're not movie stars. They're not movie stars, and they think they are.
I don't understand how you correlate movie stars to what type of vehicle you're driving. I'm driving a BMW right now. It's pretty fancy, and it's all paid off myself because I went to college and I went to school. Am I not?
Okay, but I mean, a movie star is not going to drive a paid-off BMW. A movie star is going to lease probably a Rolls Royce. So that's the difference.
And well, come on, man. I mean, you know.
What, you know better?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was on a TV show with a guy whose name I will not mention, but he had a.
Go ahead, mention it.
No, I will not mention it. And he had a BMW SUV that he bought, and that's what he came to work in every day.
That's what he came to work in every day at the studio. I'm talking about going out in the world to an award show. And I'm just saying that the movie stars and the TV stars work very hard to have some punky little kid, excuse me for saying that, try to usurp that. And all I do, sir, and you were saying it's bizarre. I mean, all I do is I get out of my car, I'm on my way into Starbucks, wherever, and I ask them to just stay in the car, and I'll ask them, what are you in this limousine for? I'd appreciate it very much if you'd get out of it and start, you know, acting who you are instead of who you think you are.
Well, that's weird.
And imposing your ideals on teenage kids is odd, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to find people that are listening right now that don't think that your behavior is bizarre.
All right. Well, I mean, you're entitled to your opinion, sir, but I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm simply saying, you know, please stay where you are.
They're right there, please stay where you are. That's going to scare the average teenage kid who's just out to have a couple of laughs.
Well, out to have a couple of laughs while he humiliates some man driving home who's 50-something, who can't afford a limousine, whose life is a failure, who may be contemplating suicide, and he looks over and he sees some kid sticking his head out of the sky, out of that sunscreen or whatever the hell you called it, and now he said, now that really pushed him, and now he's decided he will go home and blow his brain out.
You shouldn't be a journalist. You should be writing scripts for movies.
Well, I don't know. I'll take that as the insult you intended, sir. I'm a gay man, and I know you don't like me saying it, but being a gay man.
I'm glad that you're in a society that is beginning to accept sexualities that they didn't in the past. I'm a strong.
I'm a gay man in a game. But I say that because it makes me a better reporter being gay. Because I think I've got a sharper eye. And some guy who's 50,
okay,
seeing that, some kid sticking his head out of there.
Yeah, okay, we got that.
As you being straight scared.
Huh?
I didn't come up with an analogy quick enough. But you're saying that you being a gay man makes you a better reporter. Jeez, how would you like it if somebody said being a straight man makes me a better reporter than you?
Well, it's not true. That's how I'd know.
Wow.
It's not true. Because being a gay man and having dealt with all the discrimination means I can pick through the horse dung quicker than the average straight guy who gets snowed under every day by all this bull crap.
Well, I've been an investigator my entire adult life. I've been through the police academy. I've been college educated. I think I can smell a rat when I see him as well. And I'll tell you what, if I was still in my former profession in law enforcement and I got a call to a McDonald's that you had flagged somebody over, I'd be looking into you quite heavily to see what your motive is and what your mental state is.
Well, that's because you come from a very limited environment where you don't understand the larger issues that are at work. Some kid riding around in a limousine, a guy who's 50 is going to go home and blow his brains out.
Where do I come from?
Wow. I mean.
Well, I better not say.
What does that mean, you better not say?
But, Mr. Henry, I don't have to. What, it's all of a sudden a police interrogation? I'll say what I said. I just, you know, consider the source.
Well, I don't, you know, Doug, these little veiled comments, I'm going to let you go, by the way, Steve. Very good call, and I appreciate you calling us this evening.
Okay, thank you.
877-876-PHIL. These are rather veiled insults, I think.
No, they are not veiled insults, and if the gentleman is hung up, I will tell you, he sounded like he might have been that South Boston shanty thing, shanty Irish.
South Boston shanty Irish meaning what?
what it means is exactly what I was saying. When that gentleman is driving home in that car, and he's 55 years old, and his life is a ruin, his life is a wreck, his business is going under, and everything he's tried to accomplish, he has failed at. Now he's driving home to the apartment that he had to move into because his wife kicked him out, and he looks to his left, and he sees what? He sees a bunch of punky little kids sticking their heads out of the sunroof of a limousine going, ee-ee-ee. Okay? And the first thing he thinks is, yep, thank you very much. You'd almost expect him to roll the window down and say, thank you, you just made my mind up for me. Heads home, swallows the barrel of a gun. I don't find anything funny of that.
I think that what you just outlined there is the strangest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Hold the phone here, man.
No, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Just because some kids are in a limousine and some guy who's failed in his business life and he sees them and he goes home and he blows his brains out, you think that means what? Don't rent limousines to kids.
I think the time has come when we get serious and start growing up around here and we let people rent limousines who deserve them and keep these kids on a short leash until they're old enough to understand what the good life really is. As opposed to pretending like they're some kind of a big deal. I can't get the words out that I want to say.
And what does that mean, you can't get the words out you want to say?
What is the name of some young actor that's got...
Jonah Hill, there.
Who?
Jonah Hill!
I don't know who he is.
Moneyball!
Oh, that sucked.
All right, Doug, hang on the line here. We got to take a break. 877, he wants the name of a young actor. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier on kids in limousines. The Golden Globes are up. Movie stars belong in limousines, not teenagers. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our news and information hour will be coming up toward the end of the show, and you can dial us up at philhendryshow.com if you want to watch the Phil TV and HD video cast of our show. You can watch us performing this every night, and join us over there with a backstage pass for all of our downloads as well. We have Doug Danger on the line. Talking about the Golden Globes that are coming up, we were discussing Ricky Gervais, who we're very happy to see back as the host.
I think it's important, too, because official Hollywood last year reacted. They blew it. They blew it big. They came out saying that Ricky Gervais was insulting and this and that, and he won't be back. And whoever the reporters are out there that reported that Ricky Gervais was bad last year, if I were you, I'd stay home. I wouldn't show my ugly mug anywhere around the Golden Globes because you blew it, and you blew it bad. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm telling you, I'm telling you straight. I was on the right side of this one. I knew Ricky Gervais hit the ball out of the park last year, and I told everybody as I was walking out of that place, Ricky Gervais smoked it right out of the ballpark, man. I mean, it was a screaming line, frozen rope shot out over center field, right into the Union 76 station if it was Dodger Stadium. And I'll tell you right now, he hit that ball so hard that it could have gone right through one of those gas pumps out there, and there could have been multiple deaths if it had been a home run. So that's how good he was. Now, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, if I called that right, and I see some kid in a limousine running around town, driving the driver nuts, wanting to pull over to... you know, pee on a lamppost or something, or throw up, sticking his head out of the sunroof, and pretending like he's Marlon Brando, you know.
Well, Marlon Brando, I doubt, even in his most reckless youth, did anything like that.
In a limousine? Probably did. They all think they're James Dean or something like that. So I pull the car over, and I will tell them, look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. It's none of my business, but you can see I'm a reporter. And you kids have got no business acting like you're all this, because you ain't none of that. And all of these movie stars, these are the people that need these limos.
All right, Doug, 877-876-PHIL. Let's get to some phone calls here. And we're talking with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, about the limousine riding of teenagers as opposed to movie stars, I guess. Here's Patrick on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hi. I have one, it's like main question. You continuously say you are a gay man and a gay reporter. That has nothing to do with anything. That's great. That's your lifestyle. That's whatever. And then you
isn't
go
free
and
speech? Isn't this free speech?
And it is.
It's free speech, right?
Free speech. I have.
Okay. Then in free speech, you get to say what you want to say.
Yes.
I'm not using a four-letter word. I'm not talking about sex. I'm not talking. I just said that's what I am.
Of.
You need a new phone.
Doug, will you let me handle that, please? Go ahead, sir.
No, he needs a new phone. I think you lost him. At that cheap phone. Here's something you need, folks. When you call a talk show and you've got a lot to say, make sure you got a phone that you didn't buy off a kiosk someplace in the mall, or you didn't buy off some guy who just happened to have it in the trunk of his car, because you got a lot to say. You want a phone that's going to help you do that. And that guy...
All right, we got it, Doug. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Here is... John. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how's it going? I'm a gay man, not
yes,
a gay journalist. And I really find the whole...
Why do you say you're not a gay journalist? Why don't you say what you are? You're a gay man and a what? Retired? Gay man and a retired?
No. Actually, I'm a retail manager. But
you're a gay man and a gay retail manager.
Sure. Well, but the gay has nothing
look
to
at Doug, you say it's free speech,
manager.
So you say that, and this gentleman can say what he wants to say.
But, you
go
know,
ahead,
the whole
sir.
Limo thing, you know, when I was in high school, my best friend and I took our money for the prom night, rented a limo, took our girls, had a wonderful time, and if somebody had, like, pulled us over and said, you have no right to be in a limo, I would have thought that person needed to be in a mental institution.
What are you doing in a limousine? I don't understand that. Those are cars that are meant for movie stars.
Why are they meant for movie stars? What are you guys talking about?
I don't understand what you mean.
They're not meant for movie stars. They're meant for everyone.
Huh?
They're meant to make a night special. And
well, originally they were for movie stars that were going to the Academy Awards.
If you had come up to us on prom night and gave us your little spiel about how you're a gay man and a gay journalist and we don't have any right to be in a limousine, I would have thought you needed to be in a mental institution. I would have felt sorry for you.
Well, I would have felt sorry for you, sir, because you would not be listening to the voice of reason. Why, you sit
now,
in that limousine.
Oh, what,
and you're,
what's the voice of reason there?
The voice of
what's
well,
the
first
voice
of all, if
of
you're a gay
there?
Man, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm telling you.
Okay,
you say
Scott
you're gay,
and I... Scott and
you
I
say you're
worked.
Gay.
Scott and I worked. We saved money. We wanted to make our prom night special.
No, I understand that. I understand
okay.
that. But what I'm saying is, you
and
can make the prom night special
saying,
if you get your dad's car or
no,
your mom's
no,
car.
No, stop.
But
we're
you're
not
going in a limo,
car.
Which is intended
no, hey,
for the Golden
speech,
Award.
Hold on. Let
free
the man
speech,
talk.
Free speech. Okay.
Yeah, but you don't like me saying I'm gay.
No. I'm.
We
gay.
Knew what
I don't
he didn't.
Okay.
He doesn't care.
Scott and I worked. We saved our money. We wanted
you
to
keep saying the name Scott,
special.
Which sounds phony, and sounds like your call's phony when you keep saying
no,
Scott and
no,
I.
No,
Scott and
funny.
I. Scott and
okay.
I.
This
who
is
cares
monster,
what his name is?
Okay.
Who cares what his name is?
Okay, we saved
Scott and
money.
I. You got
we
a nice stereotypical gay name there, man.
Limousine.
Scott sounds good.
Hey, listen, I'm going to hang up on both of you guys. Shut up, Doug, and let this
shut
man
up,
finish.
Doug.
You told
okay.
me to shut up.
We
you told me to shut up.
Yes, I told you to shut up.
We saved our money. We rented a limousine to make the night special.
You and who? Scott?
Me and Scott.
Okay,
yes.
Man.
So, why do you have such a problem?
I already told
with
you.
That?
And why do you keep repeating this story that you already told? Which
well,
why
do you keep repeating you're a gay man and a gay journalist?
I thought you didn't have a problem with that.
I don't.
I thought you didn't have a problem with that. Well, then why do you ask me about it?
Well, because you keep repeating it. You ask me why I keep repeating things. Why do you keep repeating things?
Scott and I, hey, look at dude. Why don't you go back and practice
do you
your
have
list?
A problem? Do you have a problem with
and,
gay people?
What?
You have the problem with gay people. You're mocking them with the whole Scott and I thing.
No. No, this is...
Look, wait. We're way off base here, okay?
I question this guy's gay. I question the whole gay. Are you gay?
Yes, he's gay, and we're going to take him at his word just as we do you, Doug, and we're not going to insult people that way. And if you want to say you're a gay man and a gay journalist, you do that. This gentleman is saying what he did. I want you, gentlemen, I want you, Doug, to stick to the limousine story.
Yeah, we were.
I've said it a million different ways that a limousine is for movie stars and rich people, not for this guy and his beard to go out. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I just think you're ridiculous.
Sir. Mr. Henry, you find this funny, huh?
Yeah, you're funny.
Yeah, you're ridiculous.
You're funny.
I'm ridiculous. Why? Because I know lots of movie stars.
You know.
I guess that makes me, what?
I don't know lots, but I've encountered a few in my days, okay?
Okay, and they would be very resentful of you talking up the limos.
Not as many as you, of course. Because I'm nowhere near as fabulous as you, of course.
There's something wrong with this guy. Fabulous. All that stuff.
Okay, Doug. You're a real insult. Thank you very, very much, sir. I appreciate your call, John. 877-876-PHIL. We'll take a break. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, Doug Danger, limousines, Golden Globes, you name it, baby. We got it on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Scott and I. And then Scott and I saved our money.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could but they can't. And we are with you on Phil TV and HD. If you go over to our website, please stop into our Phil Henry shop and pick up some of the Marvy merchandise that we've got. It's Valentine's Day. That's in the offing. A Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie would be beautiful. A Phil Henry Show shot glass would be even better. Maybe even a nice coffee mug or some of our downloads. Doug Danger is on the line with us from the Orange County Courier. We've been talking about the Golden Globes and the uses of limousines among young people. And this is not a safety issue, Doug. This is just what you think is any. You think this is a decorum issue, or?
That's exactly right, Phil. That's exactly what it is. It is a social decorum issue. It's an issue of respect. Have some respect. We've got young people, and by the way, Phil, I don't want to change subject on you here too quick, but I do want to comment on the Marines in Afghanistan. I know that we hadn't talked about that.
No, we had not.
Okay, well, we had not, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I do want to report on that.
Have you been there?
Have I been there? What is that supposed to mean? Have I?
No, you said I want to report on that.
I do. I want to report on it. And one of the reasons why I do, Phil, to be honest with you, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I've been getting a lot of comments here this hour or the last hour about, I have to be honest with you, Phil, they're bordering on homophobic, like I'm some kind of a sissy that can't talk about Marines and snipers and, putting one right through the middle of some guy's head, because the way I'm feeling right now, I'd take a leak all over a Taliban or anybody else that got in my way. And I can tell you...
All right, look, Doug, if you want to be on the show, that's fine. We can talk about these things. That wasn't the plan. You're coming off really angry. And
of course I'm angry. I'm angry about a lot of things. I'm angry about how our country's represented. I'm angry about how these punk kids are driving around in limousines, and all I got are all these irresponsible parents saying, my kid gets to drive in a limousine on account of he ain't no better, or, whatever they're trying to say, Ed O'Neill on Modern Family ain't no better than my kid. How come he gets to that Sonia Virga? She's all the hot thing. And
okay, so in other words, a kid in a limousine disrespects movie stars and TV actors because they're the ones that get to ride in limousines because that's why they were originally constructed. I got it.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, that's what you said to the last caller. I'm just, I'm not quoting you exactly, but that's what you said. 877-876-PHIL. And again, we are talking with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. Let me go over to Patrick, your friend Patrick. Doug, I don't know what line he's on. Is this Patrick?
No, it's Steve.
All right, hold on, Steve. I apologize, man. I don't know where the hell Pat. Oh, he's up here on line one. Patrick is back with us. He had a cell phone situation. And go ahead, Patrick.
This is the guy that needs a new phone.
Yes.
No, he doesn't need a new phone.
New phone. All right. One, equality. Dude, you gotta learn what equality is. What is the definition of equality?
Well, I'm not in school here, man. I'm not taking your quiz. You got a point you want to make, go ahead and make it.
I'm just asking. You're so bright, and you're so smart.
Well, if you really don't know the definition, I'll be happy to give it to you, but something tells me that's a rhetorical question. So just get to your point.
All right.
I took the words right out of. He doesn't know what to say now. You know, make your point, man.
All right. Are you ready? Are you ready?
I've been ready. I was born ready, son.
You've been babbling this entire time. I've listened to you for the past hour.
Babbling?
You've just babbled and babbled and babbled.
No, I haven't. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And the fact that
I'm a straight man and a college student. I'm a
good
straight man and a college student. Ooh, see, good for you.
Now you sound retarded.
Okay, all right.
And you don't? All right.
I don't repeat it over and over again like there's a part of my brain missing. No.
To the point of the limousine. I have a younger sister. She's 16 years old. She's ridden in a limousine. And, you know, I don't see the point of there being anything wrong with kids being able to ride in a limousine. It's fine.
I just explained it.
Just like the man before me said that he had taken him and his date Steve on a date.
No, he said they took girls. They took girls on the date, even though he was gay. But you hyper-focused on the gay thing because you're worried about that.
I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
Well, you hyper-focused on the whole...
I have really good friends that are they're homosexuals. And you know what?
Of course.
That's their lifestyle.
Of course.
And that's fine.
It's not a lifestyle. It's an orientation. It's not a lifestyle. It's an orientation. It's not a lifestyle.
What?
You know, you got to get educated on that before you... You know,
Doug, would you please let the man...
The guy's not saying anything. You talk about babbling.
I'm not talking about homosexuality.
You're babbling about the whole thing, and you're not even talking about the... You say you think it's a lifestyle.
All right, so the guy...
The situation at hand, sir. The limousine.
What's in your hand?
From gay to a military.
No, I didn't. You called up with a bad phone. Then the phone fell out. Mr. Henry put you back on.
No. I put him back on because the man's phone wasn't working. He got into a good cell. Okay? And, Doug, you're nitpicking all these words. You're not letting the guy finish what he's saying.
The guy's basically saying that kids ought to be able to ride in limousines. I told him, no, they don't get to, and he's still giving me an argument about it.
Well, how do you say they don't get to? Like I was saying,
because a punk kid in a limousine is an insult to a movie star.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say, if I were there, and if you were to have pulled me over when I had ridden in the limousine... If you would have pulled me over, I'd have probably beat your ass. It's weird.
I doubt it.
No, I'm serious.
No, I doubt it. I know you tried. No, I know you tried. I mean, I don't doubt that, but I doubt
man.
It. Yeah.
What is this about, Doug? Do you understand that if I had a son or a daughter, you had a son or a daughter, and a stranger pulls them over and says, hey, kids, I want to talk to you, doesn't that bother you?
It would bother me, Phil, unless the guy identified himself as a reporter, and then I'd say, okay, it's fine.
Identified himself as a reporter, huh? And no, suppose he wasn't.
Oh, what are you trying to say now? I'm some kind of a perv? I'm gonna hijack a whole limousine with four kids in it? Are you guys nuts?
He didn't say that. He never said that you were a perv.
Well, excuse me, but you guys are saying it's kind of bizarre, and I'm simply saying these kids need to learn that limousines are what they
are for what?
What do you call
are for what?
It? The Academy Awards.
Equality.
Academy Awards. No, I don't see anything that says equality. Are they free? If they're free, it's for equality. If they're not, guess what? You got to pay. And they ain't cheap.
You
got
to pay for a car. You don't have to pay
$300 an hour for a car.
Well, I don't know what the cost of a limousine is. It is a luxurious ride, but it is not something that that says only rich people. Thank you very much, Patrick. I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. And let's go over to, is it Steve?
Yes, sir.
It is Steve. Go ahead, Steve. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey,
why don't you know these phone calls?
Because we had a phone system problem. Go ahead, Steve.
I got to tell you, well, first, I'm a first-time caller, semi-long-time listener, and the only reason why I'm calling in tonight...
Whatever.
Well, you know...
Doug?
This guy, Doug, is ridiculous, okay? Because, first of all, I'm a psychologist, okay? And I work with people like Doug, and the fact of the matter is that he's mentioned he has to let the world know that he's a gay male and a gay reporter. Nobody cares. But the fact of the matter is that he's announcing it over and over again for the world to know, and then talking about kids and saying how kids shouldn't ride in this. Who the hell cares? Nobody cares.
Well, you may not think anybody cares, Mr. Psychologist, who knows how everybody feels, even people he hasn't met yet, but how'd you like that, Phil?
The fact that he's focusing on kids, I got to tell you, is a little bit disturbing to me. And I'm going
you're a psychologist, you know that being gay's got nothing to do with being a pederast, if you're a psychologist, which I doubt.
It at all. But usually people that talk about these things and try to deflect it, raises a red flag in the society. So I'm going to take the side of the private investigator on this.
What do you mean a red flag in society?
Okay.
Listen, I don't have anything loose. I don't have anything. I'm going to make a joke. There's nothing loose about me except my bowel movement, which, you know.
Okay, Doug. You know, you want to make a.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Doug.
This is Doug. And I'm saying to you...
Yeah, and I don't like your joke, Doug, about your bowel movements.
I'm trying to lighten the mood. This guy's coming in with all kinds of homophobia. And
this is not homophobia at all, sir. This is not homophobia at all. What this is about is someone who's talking about kids, teenagers specifically, and how they shouldn't be allowed to drive in limousines. When does limousine driving or riding become exclusive to movie stars and all these things? That stuff died out 50 years ago, maybe 50 years ago.
Everybody knows, sir. Everybody knows that limousines are for either very wealthy people or movie stars. And lately what we're seeing in them are a lot of, I better not say it, but...
What?
We've been seeing that for 25 or 30 years. Kids riding in limousines.
It needs to stop. It needs to stop because I'll tell you why. These kids start thinking to themselves, hey, let's go to Spago's or
It's an ego trip. I agree with you. But at the same time, Doug keeps on harping and harping and saying, I'm a gay male. I'm a gay journalist. Who cares? But
I'm a gay man and a gay... You know that, right?
Well, who cares? I don't care.
Sir?
You do a good job.
I'm asking you if you know it.
How can he not know it? You've been saying it for an hour and a half.
I'm asking the gentleman, Phil, not you. You know I'm gay?
What? Do I know you're gay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you've mentioned it, but it doesn't... I don't care.
Okay, all right. So, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, it helps me as a journalist, the gay part. Now,
okay.
If I am out there and I'm gay and I can cut through the horse dung faster than a straight journalist and I see a bunch of kids in a limousine and I realize what they are basically doing is, and it's a figure of speech that I'm going to make here, but they're figuratively pulling their pants down and sticking.
I agree with you.
Okay.
That's inappropriate.
They're
behavior.
Pulling their pants down and sticking their bare rear ends out the window at Judy Dench.
Okay.
You know what? You guys can laugh all you want, but I've worked with these people.
Oh, come on. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard, man.
It
what?
Is.
The kid in a limousine sticking his ass out at Judy Dench.
But the thing is, this guy, Doug, is making a big brouhaha over something that really has no business being, no one cares, really.
All right. Well,
are you saying nobody cares about me being gay, or nobody cares about kids
nobody cares about kids riding around?
Out.
Nobody cares about kids in limousines. Maybe 25, 30 years ago, maybe
it might have been
today.
Weird. Yeah.
Right. Today.
Yeah.
It's a different
Listen.
World. So, Doug,
thank
Doug,
you, sir.
Sorry, Doug,
I got a break, but I thank you very much, Steve, for your call. Our number 877-876 Phil.
Thanks for cutting that guy off because he's a.
Yeah, and you too. 877-876 Phil, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Had that switch off. My apologies to our video cast viewers this evening. Had the switch off in the first few minutes of the break. But it's back. It's rock and roll. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry
thanks,
Show.
Johnny Bean. Johnny Bean, thank you.
Johnny Bean, thanks, man.
famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back. And on the line, Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. And we have been talking here about the Golden Globes. Well, we were, and we've gotten into a discussion on the uses of limousines and whether or not young people who are on their out on a prom date or on any kind of a special date or just regular people that aren't movie stars, should they be able to ride in limousines?
You know, you put it a little... No, it's not that simply put, Phil. I think I put it in a much more elegant way. Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I think that I have the words and I think I have the ability to describe specifically, sociologically, what this is about. And what this is about is kids are now being raised to think there's something special. Well, and they are, but putting them in a limousine only invites people like me to want to smack them down. I don't say smack them down literally. I mean, only invites me to figuratively, psychologically slap them down. So it really provokes me. And
well, I don't see that at all, okay?
Hold on, one more thing. I said that I wanted to talk about the Marines in Afghanistan and them urinating on that Taliban. And I don't know why we're still talking about this, but I'd like to get into that pretty fast.
Okay, Doug, I know as well as I do how we do things. I direct the show, okay?
Yeah, you direct the show, and so far you've directed the show, and you've directed me right into a... I'm sorry, Phil, you've directed this right into a ditch here, because...
I'll decide that, whether we've been directed into a ditch. And talk about insulting, man. I'm running this show the way I'm going to run the show.
I know, but I do want to say things about... I'm not going to sit here... I told you there wasn't anything to talk about, and for an hour and a half, that all we've been talking about is something there's nothing to talk about. Now, I told you that we got to get on the Marines.
You didn't tell me that you wanted to talk about the Marines in Afghanistan before you came on the show.
No, I did not, but I have had a change in thinking.
You know what? I'll think about it. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let me go over here to Kobe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Kobe, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I think Doug is very silly and immature. These are kids having fun. It's not like they do it every day. It's a once-in-a-year thing. Most of them do it for the prom. Some people do it when they get married.
Right.
You know, it's nothing extreme.
But again, they are doing it once a year, but the Academy Awards are once a year.
And now I watch the Academy Awards, and I watch these red carpets at the Grammys. Some of them don't even have
red
limousines. They come in blacked-out SUVs.
That's a limo. That's a new limo. That's the new kind.
No, those are security-type
really
cars.
Don't mean nothing, no matter how rich or how low you are.
Look at you, security-type car. What, do you work for Blackhawk?
If you have the money, you can do what you want.
Wow, wow.
What are you doing, Doug?
The guy's got an echo on the phone. Can you hear it? Hey.
Uh-huh.
Okay, he's got an echo on the phone.
So, it doesn't matter. I say, if you got it...
Kobe, yeah.
Hey, Kobe, I want to ask you a question. There's a song out right now. You know the song that's out right now? Yeah, my Hollywood friends are very offended.
Tell them to stop making these movies with these teenagers in limousines. So where do you think they learned that from?
Well, you're not going to seriously tell me that they're learning how to call a limousine company by watching a movie.
Well, we see it every time on these shows, these kids, they go to the prom, what they get? Limousine.
You know this song about, it's with Snoop Dogg, and it's about Wild and Free? And here it is. It's about a bunch of punk kids smoking dope and doing what they want to do.
Come on, man.
Is it? So well,
man. Not all these kids out here smoking dope and doing bad things.
See what I'm saying?
Turn that down, will you?
No. This is what's influencing the kids to go out and rent limousines, this dumbass doggy dog.
You're being very silly and you're being very...
No, I'm not.
Who the hell is doggy? You mean Snoop Dogg?
Yeah.
So, all right. Thank you very much, sir, for your call, Kobe. Appreciate it. But we do have a bad echo on that phone. Let's move over to Tori on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Tori.
Yes, sir. I just had an issue with the fact that... Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Yeah, we're here. We're just... That song is on.
Well, I think the song is relevant. It's called Young and Free, and it's about smoking weed and doing whatever you feel like doing.
Okay, fine. Go ahead, Tori.
I just have an issue with the fact that you think that it's people who should be respected that, like, you said movie stars should be respected, like they should be held on some kind of pedestal? Movie stars are any
well, better not than not just movie else. Stars, but also the movie, but also the TV movie of the week people too.
Right. So they should be respected more than, say, the families who are riding in funerals to their family members' grave sites. They ride it in limousines as well. So
and I know that, and I can appreciate that, Tori. That's a very good point. But it's acting a little silly to be riding around in a limousine just because someone died.
Are you kidding me?
What?
Are you serious? Like,
are you trying?
People who are emotionally distraught don't deserve to be in a limousine because one of their family members died. Like, I wouldn't want to drive to my grandfather's funeral.
Of course not.
If I'm emotionally distraught, that's not only a hazard to myself, but the other people on the road.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's why you should sit in the back seat. I don't understand what.
So it's okay if you're chauffeured as long as you're not in a limousine? Is that what you're trying to say? Because it's pretty much the same thing, isn't it?
No, it isn't. Limousines give off the impression that you're somebody special, you know?
Listen, Tori, hold on, because I want to continue with your... Tori, hold on. I want to continue with your call, but we were taking a break. Hang on for us, though. 877-876. It's a very important phone call we want to keep taking.
Yeah, sure.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Jesus.
So much we got drunk, so what we smoke weed. I mean, that is unbelievable.
Doggy Dog, Phil Hendry.
Is that his name?
I understand about the Marines. 877-876-PHIL. I'll give you an opportunity, Doug. You want to talk about the Marines. We are also talking about the limousine issue.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that. But I think I said about, I made my point on the limousine, and I told you originally I did not want to take phone calls on it because there's no point. There's nothing more to say about it.
Well, you can tell that people are taking exception to what you're saying, whether you think they have the right to or not. Now,
they can do. People have the right, Phil, to be stupid. But
just what do you want to say about Afghanistan?
Well, look, Phil, I'm not a little kid. Okay, go ahead. Say what you want to say about Afghanistan and then go and, take a dump and go to bed.
And I'm not saying that, Doug, but we can't be the way to do a talk show.
Well, you know what you're doing. You're going, you don't know which way you're going.
The way to do a talk show is to not do two topics. You do one topic.
The thing I wanted to say about the Marines in Afghanistan was the following thing. I think that with the way they behaved is not disrespect. It's not going to be seen in the world as disrespecting corpses. That's not the damage that they have done. The damage the Marines have done, and I've been trying to talk to people about this, and I've been trying to write about it. And
were you in the military?
No, I was not. No, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and being gay and being a gay journalist and then being a gay man on top of that, which is really three distinct states, is like being in the military. I can tell you right now, growing up gay, you might as well have been in a concentration camp.
Wow. Geez.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, man. God.
And I'll tell you this. What those Marines did in Afghanistan did not so much cause the world to think that we were desiccating corpses. They've got the world thinking now that our military, and in point of fact, our people, are pigs who just pull it out and relieve ourselves wherever it's convenient. See, they're not going to see it as them desecrating corpses. They're going to see it as four Marines that, I need to go to the bathroom. Well, here's as good a place as any while a camera's rolling. It makes us look like we are exhibitionists. It makes us look like we get our jollies going to the bathroom in front of people. It makes us look weird.
Well, you can call it anything you want, weird, whatever. There is an argument to be made that it does not reflect well on our fighting men, our Marines, and then on our society. I don't know if that's got to do with the fact that we don't have good toilet habits. There were three dead bodies there, and some people... I don't have a problem with it. The problem that I got is that they videotaped it, and the thing got out there, and I talked to a Marine last night on the show.
Yeah, that's fine, Phil. Can we move on?
And I'm going to finish what I'm going to say. A Marine called the show last night and said, you better believe they wanted the world to see it. You better believe they wanted that videotape released. You better believe they don't care what happens. They want the message out there to their enemy, whoever that guy is, lurking out there in the rocks and the weeds the same way they are, that this is what they're going to do, this is how they feel about them, and they're not going to stop until... I can respect that, but, you know, it goes public, and everybody's talking about it. All right, let me go back now. This young lady was hanging on the line here. Tori, go ahead, Tori. You're on with Doug Danger.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to reiterate, I just feel like it's ridiculous to feel that any kind of movie stars or TV stars or made-for-TV
Can I interrupt you, Tori? I remember what you were saying now. You were talking about your...
Why would I let you interrupt me when you've been interrupting everyone else all night?
Well, this is Phil. This is Phil, Tori. It's not Doug. I'm just saying you were talking about the limousines to the funeral.
Yeah, look at her. She's yelling at you, Phil.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's just like they are no better than anyone else. They are no better than the families riding to their families' funerals. That not only should those people be respected because they lost a loved one, but they were also respected to their loved ones that they lost. Just because they aren't respected in the public eye doesn't mean they weren't respected by somebody. So who are you to say that they're not good enough to ride in limousines?
I didn't mean to say that. Tori, what I wanted to say was this. They are respected by you. They are respected by the family. But the respect that you have for them and the love you have for them needs to be within the bounds of who, you know, what you are. And you can love your grandparents and still take them to a funeral in a, you know, in a station wagon. I don't...
Are you telling me you're going to take the...
It's a public observance, though. It's all about
right.
A public observance.
Right, exactly. So, but you were saying that you'd be emotionally distraught, and I'm saying, well, you can sit in the back seat while somebody else drives.
Absolutely. I would absolutely be emotionally distraught. So there's many reasons.
Then why can't you just sit shotgun?
Sit shotgun to who? Who else is going to drive you when everyone else in your family
someone
is there?
Someone that's not as emotionally distraught as you. There's got to be one family member that is okay with it. Or
well, what do you mean okay with it?
Is okay with their family member passing away?
No, ma'am. But they're not so broken up about it that they can't stop at a red light and, you know, obey the traffic.
Right, look, no. Doug, you're really dancing this.
I know what she's saying. I'm simply saying there's no need to take a limousine to a funeral when you got a perfectly good car.
Yes, there is. It's a public observance of respect to the dead, your dead family member, and also from the public. Because, see, I'm from the South, and in the South, we pull over for funeral processions to show our respect.
I'm from the South, too, ma'am. I'm from North Carolina.
Whether we know them or not, we pull over to show our respect for not only for the person who's died, but also for their family members, to show our respect.
Well, now, let's not lie. I'm from North Carolina. You know that's a little bit of a fib. You know that we don't always do that.
Well, what do you mean?
Absolutely. Yes, we do. Where I'm from, we do. Every single funeral that I've ever passed. Every pastor.
Where are you from?
I'm from Alabama. And we do it for every single funeral
that
you pass.
I'm from North Carolina, and I used to get so upset with these funeral processions, I would honk my horn.
Boy, you are really a sweetheart of a guy, man.
You're a disrespectful prick is what that makes to you.
All I'm asking is that they go ahead and bury the guy. I don't understand what this is all about. We're talking about limousines. Go to the thing in the limousine, that's fine. But, I mean,
You're talking about people that should be respected.
Have you ever pulled over a limousine?
I drove up to one once, and I said, what are you doing? And they said, they looked at me, and I said, well, they said, we're going to a funeral. I said, well, what are you doing in a limousine? And a few of these guys made a move like they were going to assault me, so I drove off.
Oh, come on, man. You can't be serious that you asked somebody in a limousine, what are you doing?
Bill, all I'm saying is movie star. movie star. Keep those words in mind.
You are no better than anyone else. There are plenty of people out there who do more charitable actions for others, who give more to charity, who are much better people than movie stars.
Name one.
They are no better.
Name one.
What do you mean, Bill name
Gates.
One, man?
Bill Gates. Bill Gates, he's
well,
a movie
that's
star.
The same thing. Bill Gates, Bill Gates is the same thing. He's rich.
He gives half of his earnings to charity. If anybody deserves to be in a limousine, he does. Not some.
Yes, he's rich. He's rich.
Good for him. So
he gets to be.
All right, I think we've beaten that. We've beaten this one. Listen, Tori, I agree with you, and I appreciate very much your call, and I think that you're showing a lot of patience. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. My God, Doug. You know.
No, it's not my God, Doug. I know what you're saying, but what I'm trying to say is if you start a kid on a bad habit, the kid is going to be on that bad habit for the rest of his life. Bill Gates, I got no problem with Bill Gates. He's a wealthy man. I got no problem with movie stars. But if you put some, just a guy. You know,
a family that has lost a family member, they deserve to go to a funeral in a limousine. Case closed.
Wow. Boy, you really turned into a...
Case closed, man. Case closed. There's no argument. There's no discussion. Doug Danger, you pull up to a limousine with a family in it, and you say, what are you doing in it? It's a funeral. Well, don't you think you ought to... You know, you deserve to get your ass beat.
All right, right there is a threat... that you have verbalized against me.
No, I haven't. I said you deserve.
No, you have threatened me. Thank you.
All right. I guess they're not going to be any Taliban talk tonight. I threatened him. I said if he walks up to a limousine that is on its way to a funeral and he says to the people inside, what are you doing inside? Don't you know those limousines are for movie stars? And I would say he deserves to get his ass beat. I stand by that. I'm not threatening him, but I'll tell you this much. If he does that, if he keeps doing it, he will get his ass beat. There's no question about it. 877-876-PHIL. What? Get him back on line four.
That's the other guy. He's a real dick.
Hey, Doug.
Well, I told the guy the other day, he's a good guy.
Doug, it's Phil.
Yeah, they're down south. I come from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm a gay man.
Hey, Doug, it's Phil.
All those stuff over there, take it outside. Right. I don't want to see it. I don't want to look at it. And I damn sure don't want to smell it.
Doug, it's Phil. Doug Danger, it's Phil.
Yeah. I had the guy on the phone. He's talking about that. Well, the four Marines, they took a leak on a telephone.
Doug, it's Phil. Is he on the air?
Yeah, no, I told him that you were going to him.
Get him on, will you? Doug!
Yeah, four Marines. Pulled it out and went ahead and let it go. Waterworks. Yeah. I'm going to be on the radio for the next 20 minutes.
Doug!
I'm only kidding, Phil. I can hear you. Well, that was good.
Yeah, you enjoy this, man. You're acting like a child.
No, I'm not acting like a child. I can hear you the whole time.
Then what in the hell are we doing here, man? If I had to hang up on you, you know that?
No, don't you dare hang up on me. Listen, I'm protected by the Americans with Disabilities Act. I don't have a disability, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And it's the closest thing federally that protects me to being treated like a normal human being on a talk show. And
the Americans with Disabilities Act, huh? So I can't hang up on you because you're gay, because you're protected under the American...
Under the Americans with Disabilities Act. You can't hang up on me because I'm not... Being gay is as close as it gets to having a disability when it comes to that act. So
I'll hang up on you right now. Goodbye.
Don't you dare...
All right, we'll take a break. We'll call him back. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Doug Danger with us. Our news and information hour coming up next. Talking with Doug here about the Marines in Afghanistan, as well as the limousines, as well as the Golden Globes here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me, Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, as we're discussing here. And will be for just a few more minutes. The idea of kids in limousines. We're going to be talking about the Golden Globes. Doug, I know you wanted to talk about the Marines in Afghanistan and the bathroom habits of our fighting men.
It's not so much the bathroom habits of the fighting men, it's that it reflects badly on Americans and it makes us look like we are pigs. That literally, you know, you understand the rest of the world thinks of us as hillbillies that go out to an outhouse every morning. And, you know, and so...
The rest of the world sees us as a first world nation. What do you mean hillbillies?
No, in terms of our personal hygiene and habits is all I'm saying.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to James. James, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, sir. I'm a first-time listener. I mean, you've got a great show here, Phil, and I appreciate you exposing us to things like this and people like this. But
you guys never listened to your show before.
Doug, would you be quiet and let the man talk?
The thing that really gets me is Doug is so outwardly saying, "Hey, I'm gay and I'm a gay reporter and respect me and don't segregate me because I'm a gay reporter and I should be accepted." But then he wants to turn around and he wants to segregate us because of our financial status. And because I don't make as much as a movie star or I haven't done the things that a movie star does, I'm not allowed to ride in a limo. Sir, you're no better than the grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan trying to segregate the blacks from the white buses or the white anything.
No, not at all. Because any color person could ride in a limousine. It's just if you're low rent. See, that's not color.
Well, what do you call it then?
Color, financial status, race, religion, whatever you want to say.
Any race can ride in a limousine. I'm not segregating people by race.
Segregate other people.
I'm not segregating people by race.
No, sir, you're not. You're segregating people by financial status, which under Equal Opportunity Act,
that's what the bank does. That's what the bank does. The bank does that. What are you talking about?
Okay. Yeah, the bank may do that. But the thing is,
yes, sir,
that you're sitting here talking as a gay man wanting to be accepted into society, and, hey,
well, I am accepted into society.
That's fine. That's great. I have many gay
friends. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Okay, that's great, sir. That is exactly my point. Why?
Thank you.
That is somebody that is wanting to be accepted and shown respect for your career. Why are you again then turning around and trying to segregate everybody because of their financial status? That's not right.
Well, I'm not segregating by financial. No, I'm segregating by their class. See. And I don't mean class by money. I mean class. Let me put it this way. It's like class, do you use toilet paper or not? That kind of class.
Well, okay. So how does that come down to teenagers don't get to ride in limousines?
Because that's slob. That is what I call slob.
What's the word slob?
No, S-L-O-B, slob.
That's slob.
Yes, sir. So in other words, I'm not segregating by race, by class, nothing. But I would do what this gentleman would do in his own home. Are you going to let somebody come into your house who picks their nose and wipes it on the wall? No. Otherwise, I could say you're segregating.
Are you trying to tell me that somebody that is not a movie star renting a limousine is like picking your nose?
In a way, yes. It's like walking around with your fly open. If you are riding in a limousine and you are just some high school student, or some guy that put together his last dollar to rent a limousine to impress some girl who will never, ever sleep with him in a million years, that's like walking around with your fly hanging open.
I've got a special name
for
you, Doug. I've got a special name for you, and I think the rest of the listeners have a special
name
for you.
You're calling me a name?
Ignorant. You are ignorant.
You're calling me a name.
And all these people that are listening to you need to give you the respect that you deserve and write to whatever paper or journalism or magazine that you write for, and you need to be boycotted. Because you are...
I'm going
to
give the name of the paper.
Ignorant.
Do not give the name of my paper, Phil.
Well,
I'm asking you, Mr. Henry, not to give the name of my paper. You don't need to give any more fuel to a bigot like this.
This man's not a bigot.
You don't think... He's got homophobia on the mind.
I wouldn't call him a bigot. And I'm not... It's not my place to judge you as a bigot. It's my place to judge you and let you know that you are ignorant, sir. You have no right to segregate anybody by anything, let alone try to tell me whether or not I can ride in a limousine because of my class.
I didn't say, no, you can't ride in a limousine because you riding in a limousine would look like basically you're using the toilet and not wiping.
What are you talking about, man? How is anybody going to see this gentleman?
Why am I ignorant? You can call me ignorant, but you have to tell me.
I can justify your ignorance. You're sitting here.
You know what?
I'll
put it in terms you can understand, sir. All right.
You're sitting here telling me that a teenager has no right to ride in a limousine. Why?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying a teenager riding in a limousine, it might as well be a Marine peeing on a Taliban.
Huh?
Okay.
Well, you know, if you guys don't get it, it's a very high level of thinking. And
a teenager riding in a limousine
might as well have pulled it out and peed all over some guy with a rag on his head.
Oh, God.
And there you go again laughing. Boy, you really think this stuff's... You know, you guys, one of these days you're going to wake up and smell whatever's cooking. May not be coffee, maybe something else. Maybe it's a turd in a bag. You guys got to know the difference between the smell of coffee and the smell of a turd in a bag.
Well, guess what I'm smelling?
Oh, let me guess. Turd in the bag?
There you go, baby. You got it. You got it. Thanks very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Here he is. I believe this is this Jessica? Is this you? It is not Jessica. Is this Jessica? Is this you?
This is me.
Go ahead, Jessica. I had the wrong line.
Thank you.
You're on the air?
Thank you, Phil. I'm a first-time listener.
Yes.
And I just to politely address a few things that I've heard, mainly spoken on behalf of...
Is this going to take long?
Doug, what was that?
Is this going to take long? I'm Doug Danger. I was asking if it's going to take long.
You know what, Doug? I'll take my time in saying what I need to say, and when the host of the show cuts me off, then I'll gladly hang up the phone.
Okay.
What I've gotten out of the last 30 minutes of the show is that whether it's Afghanistan or it's about whatever happens in a limousine, whether it's about taking a limousine to a family funeral, if it's urinating on the dead in Afghanistan, whatever it may be, it's a personal choice. And there's simplistic thinking here. And I think that what I've heard come out of your mouth, Doug, and I don't want to offend you, but you've gone back on your words so many times.
Phil Hendry.
That's great.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And coming up tonight, this is here on the El Pacifico now, Saturday morning officially, although I know it's been Saturday for some time for our friends and neighbors on the East Coast. Coming up tonight at 7 Pacific, it is our local show here for Los Angeles, and you can join us on Phil TV and HD if you'd like and watch it here. If you are listening to audio, I'm sure it's going to be on iHeart someplace, which is really an amazing new invention. It's not an invention. It's an app, basically, and it's a way of accessing all of these marvelous radio streams and consolidate them into one nice, concise package. And I'm told that this is the future, and I'm very, very grateful that it's the future for the very, very smart and sharp and ever so neat and cool radio executives out there that have found yet another way to use radio talent and not pay them.
Hey!
I knew you were going to get to it, man. You didn't think I was going to sit here and just talk glowingly, did you?
You're going to get in trouble.
Get in trouble for what? What is it that I'm going to get in trouble for? Am I lying? Am I lying? Am I telling a lie? Am I saying something that isn't true? I happen to know it's true. How do I know it's true? Because nobody can tell me that that isn't true, because I am a radio talent. I'll put that in quotes in case somebody wants to dispute it. You know, figuratively speaking, a radio talent. And I know that my radio show goes places that I never knew that it was supposed to go. Nobody ever told me. Nobody ever said to me, by the way, Phil, we're going to take your show, and then we're going to put it in this little kind of warehouse, this sort of resourcing center called iHeartRadio, or whatever the hell else is going on, and then we'll take it, and we'll just blast that sucker all over the universe, and you won't get any extra money for that. Now, I know that many of you out there are saying to yourselves, what's wrong with that? We do it all the time, Phil. We give our work away all the time. Why don't you?
Well, I don't think they're saying that.
Oh, they're not? Oh! Hell, I thought that's what happens in America. You go to work for a guy, and let's say you make things for this guy, and it turns out that the stuff you're making for that guy, well, it's actually going to another guy, and 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 there's a whole bunch of guys that are benefiting from the work that you're doing, but you only get paid by one guy. Now, in America, and I love this country, don't get me wrong, but only in America... Only in America. Only in America is that guy taught to believe that he's insane if he complains about that. Only in this country, only in the warped manner in which we think in this country, is that considered kind of weird and commie. Every other country in the world, where, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, they've had labor movements and labor issues far longer than we've been around. Europe is as old as time, so is Asia, and they've been dealing with work. If it wasn't for the Black Plague in Europe, we wouldn't have something called the individual contractor, believe it or not.
But
you didn't know that, did you?
What are you talking about, the Black Plague?
You didn't know that the Black Death of Europe was essentially what gave rise to the tradesman, did you? The individual tradesman. What essentially ruined the feudal system.
What are you talking about, feudal system?
Well, I'm not going to go into it, man, because it's a big, long explanation. The point is, after the when the plague hit and all these cats were dead, man, I mean dead, 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 Red, they were dead, right? There were millions of them, and there were no workers. There was nobody to do any work. There was nobody to repair the castle. There was no one there to repair the moat or whatever the hell they had, you know, the drawbridge, you know?
Yeah, probably they had to repair, like, the tower.
Yeah,
when they had a tower.
Yeah, sure, they got to repair the tower, whatever. So they needed cats to do that, and they couldn't just go and draw upon their feudal serfs. These people were living in a kind of indentured servitude. This is a kind of slavery. Well, they couldn't just go out and find one, because guess what, man? They're all dead. They're in a pile somewhere, Jack, ready to get shoveled into a big hole. There were millions of dead people all over Europe. So the guy that survived, the workman walking down the road one fine summer day, when the Black Plague had finally gone from Europe, and here's a guy walking down the road, he's whistling a happy tune, he's on his burrow or his horse, and he has with him, he has his hammer, and he has his saw, and he has his tools, and this guy is, all of a sudden, he is about to embark upon a new adventure that would give rise to others like him. This guy is a worker, and not only that, he could go to that castle, and he could say whatever the hell they said, you know.
Probably something, you know, like, good day to your squire or something.
Yeah, like a Earl or something, like, hello, Earl.
Yeah, sure, hello, Earl. And hi, Earl, my name is Bob. You Earl? Funnier than what you guys have been talking about.
Whatever.
Anyway, yes, sir. I am a tinker by trade.
What's that?
I don't know, but let's just say the cat says I'm a tinker by trade. He tinkers, you know. Yeah, well, I need some stuff done. Oh, that's real nice. It's great that you need stuff done. Don't we all? I tell you what, man. Well, how much are you charging me? Well, let me think of it. See, all of a sudden, the castle guy, the squire there in a castle couldn't say, hey, listen, you lousy serf, get in here and fix that clock or whatever the hell. Get in here and cook me some waffles. Now he had to negotiate. Well, now, ain't that something? I've never had to negotiate before in my life. I always use these feudal guys. You know, like, well, you can go out and try to find a feudal guy. You got any? Nah, they're all dead. Yeah, I'll bet they are. I bet you need them buried, too, don't you? Yeah, it's starting to stink. Say, how much would you charge me to... Well, let me just go ahead and enter that into my computer, too. I do it all, man, baby. I got it all down. Don't worry, Mr. Squire, sir. I'll bury those dead guys out there in the backyard. I'll fix your moat. I'll fix anything you got, man. I'll do anything you want, but it's going to cost.
Yeah, but he wasn't going to say that. The squire had run him through.
Oh, get out of the squire had run him through. Look at, man, reality is reality. And when life hits, there's only one thing to do. You got to deal with it. And that's what happened. And that gave rise to the working class in Europe. And that gave rise to the individual tradesman, the individual contractor. Many unions began to spring up because workers had power. The point that I'm making here is when the Black Death murdered off and killed off all these millions and millions of people, there were no more workers. Workmen and work was a premium. They had to find people to do work, and they had to deal with them now. They couldn't just tell them what to do. They had to deal with them. They had to say, how much is it going to cost me? The things that we're all familiar with today, there's nothing wrong with it. Today we pick up the phone, we call a guy, how you doing? I'm a plumber. Yep, I need my bathtub fixed. You got it, baby. How much is it going to cost? Well, it's going to cost this, this, and this. All right, thank you. And we negotiate, and we find the best price. And this is common now in the world, but there was a time when that didn't happen. There was a time when everybody was tied to a feudal arrangement with a squire or a lord. It was very primitive. And now, so where are we in radio? Well, guess what? Guess what? You're not going to believe this, but radio is still operating in a quasi-feudal way. It's very funny, and they will laugh at you. And one of the ways that radio management has always dealt with these issues is just to laugh at the town. Why, how silly. But it's true. I got friends of mine that are so scared crapless, writers, journalists, radio journalists, real hard-hitting people, people that consider themselves to be real hard-ass, real tough. They're so scared of the suits in this business. When these guys, and they finally sit down to write an article about the actual financial reality of the broadcasting business, they suddenly notice that they got to go to the bathroom, they become incontinent, they got to put on their diaper, and next thing you know, hey, they didn't write the article. That's how scared they are. But in radio, we do have a feudal arrangement, which means this. Hi, Phil. Hi. We'd like you to be on, you know, our network and everything, and I'm not blaming the network now, but your radio show is going to go to these stations, and by the way, you can use the feed for your internet. And okay, great, that's great. Thank you. You're welcome. Oh, by the way, I guess, you know, they're picking up the feed and putting it on iHeartRadio. Is that, I don't know anything about that. I don't know anything about that. Oh, and another thing, they're taking it and they're on another thing, and there's another thing. There's about 19 million different things out there. They're grabbing it and sticking it on that feed, and then they're putting it out there into outer space, and everybody's getting, you don't mind, do you? Yeah. You do? Yeah. Well, I only ask to be polite because there's nothing you can do about it. Okay. People listening to me right now are saying to themselves, well, I don't get it. Well, I understand you don't get it. But when it happens to you, you'll get it. You'll get it. Now, you probably don't think in your world how that could be applied. But let me give you an example. You're a lawyer. You prepare a brief. You prepare for trial. You prepare for a meeting of some kind, negotiation of some kind. Okay. There's another lawyer who works down on whatever street, and he needs a brief, and he needs some preparation too, you know. And he needs to have this for his big firm. And so what they say to you is, that's great, you got that for that? Yeah, I do. Well, we're going to take that and use it for our thing too. Well, wait, what are you talking about? Well, you're not going to use it for that. We're using it for that. You're using it for your thing, right? Well, we're going to use it for our thing. But I worked on that. I did that. It doesn't make any difference. That doesn't happen in the world of lawyers. But that's precisely what happens in broadcasting. You're a doctor. Yes. You're doing open heart surgery right now for Mr. So-and-so. Yes, I am. Well, next door, there's a guy that needs some open heart surgery. So get in there and do that too. Well, wait a minute. I get paid. No, you don't get paid extra. What are you talking about? Get paid extra. Get in there and do it. And you guys are saying, oh, you're exaggerating. No, I'm not exaggerating. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what happens in my business. Doctor wouldn't stand for it. Lawyer wouldn't stand for it. None of you guys would stand for it. It happens every single second of every single day of every single week of every single year in the broadcasting business today. Guys like me and I'm not talking about myself because I'm in a way better shape than most broadcasters, kids that are starting out, young broadcasters, you go in there and voice track for about 600 stations and we'll pay you $200-$300 a month extra. I mean, literally, they're going to do voice tracks for how many stations? Another 500 stations. You know, we're a big company. We've got 9 million stations all over the planet Earth, and we're putting some on Venus, and we got one on the moon, and you're going to do voice tracks, and we'll throw you a couple of bucks. Well, I'd like to negotiate. What's that again? I want to negotiate. You're fired. Next. You think I'm kidding? So,
you're going to get fired on account of everything you say right now, because they're going to be mad at you.
I'm not going to get fired. I'm not lying. I'm not even saying it's being done in a malicious way. It's just kind of the way this business is. This business has not grown up. It has not gotten past this feudal thinking in 60 years. 60! I didn't say 20. 60! We're still doing business the same stupid, stumblebum, huckleberry way in radio. Bunch of freaking huckleberry hicks. And the only guy that's getting fat is maybe one or two, and the rest of us are standing around like dumbasses. And I got all these friends of mine, and I love them, and I respect them, and they're all, hey, man, and they're writing articles about social media, and they are lost. Hey, here's how to make your show better. Dude, it doesn't make any, I'll make my show better, I appreciate that. We got to start talking about other stuff. Make my show better? I went to a trade meeting in New York. It was a group of broadcasters. It was all of us together. And there were a lot of cats there that I respect. Randy Rhodes was there, and Lionel was there, and Roger Hedgecock was there, and some of the guys from WOR were there, and Rusty Humphreys was there, and Bill Handel, all these guys that I know and respect. And we could have sat down at that meeting and talked about, now, how are we going to rework the economics of this situation as talent, as people that are on the air? What are we going to do to try to look out for ourselves? Do you think we did that? No. What did we do? We all started arguing politics. Because this guy's a right winger, and that guy's a left winger, and this guy's a... And let's start arguing, let's start doing our shows for each other.
Yeah, you told me about that, man. That was weird.
Weird? It was bizarre. We're sitting there arguing our politics with each other, man. Like, I got to do my show for this guy. Like, he doesn't already know, right? What we ought to be talking about is our business. All right, anyway, I'm going to take a break here.
And but what if they fire you?
For what, bud? Get out of here. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. What's that, Mr. Hall? Yes, David?
Yeah, you're fired.
Thank you. All right, he's kidding. We'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. A lot of news to get to. Heather Locklear is okay. Madonna, she thinks Lady Gaga is to gag for. We'll be right back, tell you all about it on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
It's a bitch.
Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show here. We got I think it's an interesting story here about Madonna and what?
Got David Hall.
Oh, for God's sake.
He just wants to.
Yeah, David.
You knew I was going to call, right?
What do you got to call about, man?
Phil, look, I don't want to. Let's calm down, okay?
What do you got to call about?
Let's calm down.
What do you got to call about?
Would you just calm down more?
What do you got to call about?
I'm sorry, a little bit more.
What do you got to call about?
Just whisper.
Get out of here, will you? Whisper.
Instead, he want to talk to you.
Is that... What, David, I'm not whispering, okay?
All right, I'm sorry. I'm just telling you. When you start taking these people on, you don't know what you're fooling with. You don't know how powerful they are. You're suddenly laying out the game. You're letting everybody know what the game is. You're making them look stupid. You're making them look like a bunch of clowns. Phil, you're dealing with things and you're messing with things that could blow right up in your face.
What is this? Some John Grisham novel or something? I'm talking about business.
Sure, you're talking about business. Love to believe you're talking about business. Everybody out there believes you're talking about business. I think you're talking about business. But the people that are way, way up, Those are the ones that are hearing you, and they're hearing a guy that's out of line. A guy that's not on the team. A guy that's not on board. And you know what happens when you're not on board?
No, what happens?
Phil, don't be a jackass. Yeah.
What happens with a guy that's not on board?
No?
Oh, will you bug off?
I don't know.
A guy that's not on board. What's he mean about that?
I don't know, man. I wouldn't let it worry you.
Well, I'm not going to let it worry me, but...
Yeah, forget about it. He's kidding.
You were the guy a minute ago that said I was going to get fired.
I was just joking.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. You were joking. And what are you looking at?
Nothing, man. Nothing. I think everything's going to be okay.
Get him back on the phone.
Phil, I swear to...
Get him back on the phone!
David, all.
David, it's Phil.
Ain't you got a show to do?
Yeah, I had a show to do until you came jumping in with this, hey, those guys upstairs. Now, what are you talking about?
Just don't mess with stuff you don't know anything about. When you start messing with the way that a guy eats, where a guy gets his food from, you're messing with a guy's rice bowl. You can't mess with a guy's rice bowl, Phil. You see, you're...
Will you knock it off with this Glengarry Glen Ross? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about you spilling the beans on iHeartRadio. I'm talking about you talking about how you're getting stiffed. I'm talking about you talking about how these guys are making dollars and you're making pennies. I'm talking about messing with a guy's rice bowl.
Dude, somebody's messing with my rice bowl.
What do you mean your rice bowl? I thought you didn't want to do the Glengarry Glen Ross. I was...
Okay, that's it. I don't want to talk to him anymore.
Yeah, but he's making some points.
Get him out of here. I don't want to talk to him anymore. Messing with my rice bowl. All right, Madonna, not totally sharing the love with Lady Gaga. That's what we call her around here. Lady Gaga has been, she's been upfront about her admiration for Madonna, but does Madonna share the love? Hell no. She thinks that Lady Gaga is a disgusting pile. No, I'm kidding. Is she sharing the love? Well, the Material Girl sounded lukewarm in U.S. interviews released on Friday, calling her influence on Gaga's music, quote, interesting and amusing, sometimes. I certainly think she references me a lot in her work, and sometimes I think it's amusing and flattering and well done. She was talking to ABC News. There's a lot of ways to look at it. I can't really be annoyed by it because obviously I've influenced her, the pop star told ABC. She continued to tell ABC and no one else. The comparisons between the two divas, both known for combining provocative stunts with catchy dance pop hits, came to a head when Gaga released her Born This Way single last February. The song was instantly likened to Madonna's 1989 hit Express Yourself. Why is that? Well, maybe it's because it was the same melody.
Yeah, I think it is.
Why is that? Anyway, when I heard it on the radio, I said, that sounds very familiar, Madonna said. Asked if that felt annoying, Madonna responded, it felt reductive. Pressed by ABC interviewer Cynthia McFadden whether that was good or bad thing, Madonna said, why don't you look it up? Hey! It's a good answer, Madonna. Oh, we got to take a break? All right. We'll be back with more on this Falderall and Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is, and Madonna is, you know. And meanwhile, they're making dollars and I'm making pennies. The world famous Phil Hendry show will be right back.
You do it. Don't you step into a guy's rice bowl.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It is our news and information hour. We do have a report from Key West, Florida tonight. Bob Bakian standing by in our news van and news air services in Key West, Florida for a special report. It is not exactly breaking news, but let's get to Bob Bakian there in Key West. Bob, how you doing?
I'm You're welcome, and thank you. We are not exactly in Key West, Florida, Phil. We are reporting tonight from Miami, where we have returned from the Keys, where 81-year-old Gene Hackman this afternoon, Phil. And when I say this afternoon, I mean Friday afternoon. Gene Hackman struck by an automobile while he's riding his bicycle. But I can tell you, Phil, that Gene Hackman is going to be all right. And I'm not hearing the stinger music.
I'm sorry?
I don't hear the music. And...
Is this the guy that can't talk right?
He doesn't know how to talk unless he hears the news music.
I'm not about to talk right.
Okay, Bob, hold on for a minute. What is this, anyway? God can't talk right unless he put the music on. I didn't know that. Why doesn't somebody tell me? Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you, Phil. We are in Miami tonight, Phil, reporting on Gene Hackman, 81-year-old Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman is all right. He's resting comfortably in a hospital in the Keys. But apparently Gene Hackman was struck by an automobile guy who
Well, get the music.
I got to re-cue.
Music's got to re-cue.
What do you mean it's got to re-cue? Put the other card up. Hold on, Bob. This is the most balled-up thing I've ever heard of in my life.
David.
Yeah, David.
What's going on? You got Bacon on there?
Yes.
Well, he sounds like he's got a mouthful of you-know-what. And I'm telling you right now, I've already got the FCC breathing down my neck. Tell him to quit talking. What? Shut up, Bacon. Every time you talk, people think you got...
Will you just cut him off? Dump that. Get the music, will you? There. God.
Well, Bob, thank you, Phil. Thank you very much, Phil. I can tell you that without playing that music, you make me sound like a complete ass. A 24-karat gold-plated ass. I'll never forget. Gene Hackman today was...
Hold on for a minute, Bob. It's not my fault, okay? What I was... I didn't know, and I apologize. I know we have to have your music playing.
Oh, we got a little bleep. Come on, bleep.
Oh, God. Put the music...
Phil, I understand, but you still are making me look like a real ass, like the wrong end of a horse backing out of a barn. Bob Bacon here in Florida, as Gene Hackman was airlifted to a Miami hospital and released...
Gotta re-cue.
But if you say the word re-cue one more time, I'm gonna physically assault you. I don't care if we're on the air. I know it's gonna re-cue.
You won't make a re-cue.
Will you guys... Bob, are you there? But everybody just get on hold.
What happened to you, man?
What happened to me? All I know is I had to go to Bakian in Miami because of Gene Hackman. And the next thing I know, then I got David Hall on the line who's reading me the riot act about something. You guys are going to have to, I don't know what, somewhere along the line. Yeah, David.
You realize what this sounds like? It sounds like you're doing a feature for that the guy that plays guitar for Van Halen. What's the guy?
The hell is he talking about?
Eddie Van Halen.
The guy that lost part of his tongue. Now, Phil, I can tell you...
Okay, don't put his call through at all. Get Bacon back on the line. Let's fire it. Okay. Phil Henry, now let's go to Bob Bacon in Miami. Bob?
Thank you very much, Phil. I guess there's not really much to retrieve from this bit. I still sound like a gold-plated ass. Thank you, Phil Henry. Gene Hackman was riding without a helmet on an Isla Madura street around 3 p.m. when a pickup truck hit him, throwing him onto a grassy shoulder, according to Florida Highway Patrol report. No charges were immediately reported. During a career that has spanned 5 decades, I'm a hooga-booga. The booga-booga-booga-booga.
Okay, here's what I want you to do.
Wait, you got to get him back on for the report on Gene Hackman.
Not putting anybody back on for a report. Number one, get rid of him.
No, you can't get rid of Bob Bacon. You have him forever.
Get rid of him. Get rid of him until he has whatever's wrong with him fixed, okay?
What's wrong with him?
What's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? Is that what you're asking me, what's wrong with him?
Well, yeah, I mean, I know he has a little problem.
He messes his words up once in a while.
Oh, yeah, just once in a while. No, he's great. He's fantastic. He's a perfectly functioning human being as long as I got this playing underneath him. I bet you this guy needs this when he goes to the bathroom. Get rid of him. Number two, put an ad in the trades. Put an ad in any kind of a newspaper you can think of. I don't care if you put it in the recycler. I don't care if you stick it under the windshield wipers on people's cars. I want a professional remote news reporter for our show. Okay? Number three, don't ever put David through again, bud, when we're dealing with situations like this.
Yeah, but you know
what? Don't talk. Don't talk. Don't ever put David through again when we're dealing with situations like this. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, of all of the things... What?
Gotta finish the report.
And that's what we know about Gene Hackman, Phil.
Hey, Bob, I want to ask you a question, okay?
Don't you dare pull that music down.
I'm not pulling any music down. What is this with you?
What's what with me?
You got it. Turn the music up, man.
What's what with me?
Just what happened right there if you don't have this music.
Sir, I'm a news reporter. I don't know whether you noticed it or not. I do remote news.
Of course I've noticed it.
All right. When I do remote news, as any news reporter would know, I've got to have my music. I've got to have my stinger music, my eyewitness news music.
Okay, that's fine. I know that it sounds better when you have that...
No. It doesn't sound better. I can't do the report without it. I don't function as a normal human being without it. Call it weird. Call me a mutation. But I am so heavy into the radio news thing, I must have music, I must have the sound of traffic, I must have the sound of helicopter blades, and I must be on a bad phone. I'm Bob Behnke.
Don't sign off yet, okay?
Well, that's what I do. I always sign off.
How about when you say goodbye to your wife in the morning?
I sign off. I told her go.
Turn the music. Bud, don't let the music stop.
I always sign off.
You sign off with your wife in the morning when you're going to work.
That's right.
Can you give me an example?
I'm Bob Behnke. I love you. And then I turn, then I wheel on one heel. I always wheel around and head out to the car.
Now, is there music playing then?
Yes, there is. I have it on an iPod.
There's an iPod?
That's right. So I've got it playing in my headphones, and I say to my wife, her name is Carolyn. I say, Carolyn, I'm Bob Behnke. I love you. Good day to you. And then I wheel on. I guess it sounds kind of weird, but that's how I live.
That's how you live?
Yeah. I know I'm a freak. Look, I got no special problem, Phil. Now, to you, I'm a big, ugly freak, and I look like a slob. But I was almost the heavyweight champion of the...
All right, I got the whole thing from Requiem for... Thanks very much, Bob.
Wait a minute. I just want to... tell you, Bob Behnke, Phil Henry Show, boo.
God, what a sick animal.
Yeah, man, he's been living like that his whole life.
That's why if you fire Bob Behnke, he won't know what to do.
All right, I understand.
Yeah, you got to have some compassion, fellow man.
Yeah, sure, man, I'll have some compassion. I'll have compassion. You bet, man. I'll have compassion for my fellow. I'm the only guy in the whole business that would have compassion for that. I'll have it. That's fine. You know.
Don't act all resentful about it.
Hey, bud, don't start lecturing me, okay? I'm the one guy in the whole freaking business that's got a cat who's doing news reports for him that can't talk right unless he's got bed music playing.
But even he can't talk right.
Oh, come on. Every time the music fades out, he's like...
Yeah, it does sound kind of jacked up. But he's pretty good when the music playing.
Oh, yeah. I bet you he's a, you know, solid gold human being when he's got music playing. I mean, I'm laughing. And I shouldn't say this. It's kind of crude. But, I mean, has he got kids?
Yeah, he's got two kids, right?
Yeah, he's got a son and a daughter.
He's got a son and a daughter.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, I mean, like I said, I don't want to be crude. But how exactly was he able to conceive...
Well, he probably had the headphones on.
Oh, that's great. He must have the most patient wife in the world. He's got the most patient wife in the world. He's saying, I love you, honey. Bob Behnke. He signs off. He doesn't tell her that he's leaving. He just signs off. Does he sign off when he's making love to her?
How do I know, man? I'm not asking a bunch of personal questions like that.
All right. I'm just wondering. He's wearing headphones when he's making love to his wife, so he's got this playing... I mean, what the hell, man? How does he talk to her?
What do you want me to do, man? I go in and record it?
Don't you guys ever ask these questions?
No, man. I got other stuff I got to think about.
You never... All right. I'm telling you right now, you know, to quote Slim Pickens and Dr. Strangelove, I've been to two World's Fairs and a 4th of July picnic, and I had never heard anything like that before in my life. Well, man, first time pivoting. Give me that Gene Hackman story. Give me that thing, man, so we can finish it. People are out there going, what the hell's happening to Gene Hackman? And I got a guy going, blue, 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 if he doesn't have his music playing. So anyway, folks, the story is Gene Hackman, he's fine. Mr. Hackman, a terrific actor, by the way, an ex-Marine. Well, I guess you're never an ex-Marine, right?
No, man, you always remember the Brotherhood.
All right, a former, you know, active Marine. Gene Hackman, an Oscar winner. Was briefly hospitalized with bumps and bruises on Friday after a pickup truck hit him from behind while he was riding a bicycle in the Florida Keys. The 81-year-old Hackman was airlifted to a Miami hospital and released several hours later after routine tests, according to publicist Susan Madore. Hackman was riding without a helmet.
You can't do that.
That's right. He's riding without a helmet on Isla Madura Street around 3 p.m. Now, where the hell was this? Isla Madura. That is Miami, isn't it? Around 3 p.m., I don't know where they say the keys. Anyway, when a pickup truck hit him, throwing him onto the grassy shoulder, according to the Florida Highway Patrol, no charges were immediately reported. During a career that spanned 5 decades, Hackman has won 2 Academy Awards. He's been nominated for 3 others. He took the Best Actor trophy for his portrayal of Jimmy Papa Doyle in The French Connection in 1971 and the Best Supporting Actor Award for Unforgiven in 1992. He was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for his breakthrough role as Buck Barrow, Clyde Barrow's brother in Bonnie and Clyde. That's when I first saw him, you know.
I thought that was one of the first movies.
No, he was in the... I saw a really crappy movie he was in called The Hawaiians or something, and then I saw that Poseidon Adventure. That sucked. I didn't like it. Some people might like it. But in any event, no, but when he played that Bonnie and Clyde, that thing was... he knocked that out of the park. And he also... And this was another great film. A lot of people don't know this movie. I Never Sang for My Father is the name of the movie in 1970. And for Mississippi Burning in 1988. Besides the Oscars, Hackman has won 3 Golden Globes and 2 BAFTAs.
What's that?
BAFTA, I think, is the British...
Yeah, that's the British Academy of Film and Television Academy.
The British Academy of Film and Television Academy, okay.
That's what they call it.
No, they don't call it that.
You got to be called something else. You got to say Academy twice.
That's what all I'm telling you what I know. British Academy of the Film and Television Academy.
How about the British Association of Film and... Give me that. The British Academy of the Film and Television Association. I don't know what the hell it is. Anyway, Hackman is also widely known for playing Superman's archenemy Lex Luthor. That guy was a riot in that. You see that?
Uh-uh.
That was funnier than hell. When he played Lex Luthor, it was beautiful. He played a great Lex Luthor. So anyway, Gene Hackman's fine, 81 years of age. You're riding around out of helmet there, Mr. Hackman. Bad things happen. Glad that you're doing better, sir. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show wrapping up here, our final segment. We come back, and philhendryshow.com, get a backstage pass. Oh, I almost forgot. You can register to win a free month of our website, a free backstage pass. All you have to do is hashtag at our Twitter account, the Twitter show account, twitter.com/PhilHendryShow, hashtag the name Phil Hendry. Or... like our fan page on Facebook, facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS. Go on over there and like our fan page. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back, and this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I want to remind you that, I don't want to beat it into the ground, but, you know, we don't want you to miss a really good show, and it's a great one. It's Napoleon Dynamite on Fox at 8:30, and I'm not getting paid to say this stuff. I want to plug it because I am a guest star feature, whatever, in all 6 episodes of Napoleon Dynamite this this season. And it's cool. And, you know, I was just saying to Dan, the producers, Jerusha and Jared, who produced this show, they're from Idaho. And Trey Parker and Matt Stone are from Colorado. And I say, what is it about the Rocky, you know, up there in the high mountain air, man, these really funny people, you know? It
must be like you and Dan were saying, it's the isolation.
Yeah, they probably go, like, flip out and go all weird and everything.
well, I don't think I went weird or anything, but maybe it is that. It was like when I lived in Minneapolis, and there was a period there in Minneapolis. When I was in Minneapolis, I was there in the early 90s, and Prince was already, you know, a big star. And the Jayhawks, Husker Du, Soul Asylum, there were all these bands out of all of a sudden coming out of Minneapolis, you know.
I ain't heard of none of them.
Yeah. I know Prince.
Well, all right. These were bands. They were kind of indie bands that scored some hit records and were very, very popular out of Minneapolis.
Indianapolis.
Minneapolis, okay? You listen to me, not Indianapolis.
What's the difference?
One town's in Indiana, the other's in Minnesota.
God, man.
Well, why did he call it like that?
I don't know, bud. Anyway, I wondered about that, and the guy said, well, what else are you going to do in the wintertime, man, in Minnesota when there's snow up to about 90 feet outside? You can't go out. You can't do anything. You're sitting inside with a guitar, you know.
Yeah, all you're doing is writing music, huh?
That's it. All you're doing is writing songs with your friends and forming bands and playing in the garage. So, yeah, the weather has... But, you know, it's not just the weather, because there's music from all kinds of places and all kinds of comedy. What is it about Toronto, Canada?
I was wondering about that. They have funny people come out of there all the time.
There's a lot of funny cats that come out of Canada, specifically out of Toronto and Hamilton, Ontario, is where the Martin and Michael Short are from. Michael is the writer and Martin the performer, you know. And I believe Dan Aykroyd is a Canadian, right?
Well, I don't know about, yeah, I mean, John Candy is.
John Candy was, yeah, John Candy was a Canadian. And, of course, Second City, those were all Canadian performers, right? Eugene Levy and Andrea Martin, and that was when they said Second City. That wasn't the Second City in the United States that we know. That was Second City Toronto, but that was a TV show.
But what are you talking about in the United States?
The famous Second City Theater in America is in Chicago, and Bill Murray and those cats came out of there. And then there's another theater in Chicago called the Steppenwolf, which is more dramatic.
But that was also a band, too. They come out with Magic Carpet Ride, too.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
No, you dumbass. He's talking about...
Come on, watch out. Call him a dumbass. I'm not talking about the band. I'm talking about Steppenwolf is a theater, okay?
It's also a book.
Yeah, because I told you it was a book. Anyway, get sidetracked with his stuff. So, yeah, really funny people from Toronto, okay? And then, of course... There again, we find Minneapolis, Minnesota. And you not only have great music, but there was a lot of funny stuff coming out of Minnesota in the late 80s and into the early and mid-90s. Like Mystery Science Theater 3000, if I'm not mistaken, that was on... I know it was out of St. Paul. And it was at one time... Was it a public access or something?
Well, I think they said public access. I think that was produced pretty good, so maybe it's just on an independent TV station.
Maybe, yeah, because you're right. The production value, of course, if they're doing public access, man, it didn't necessarily mean they had the greatest production value. But that was from Minnesota. So really funny people coming from up in that neck of the woods, you know. And then, of course, it's just fascinating where things begin and where things sort of where the creative pockets in America are and in North America and how it changes from time to time, you know, and. So anyway,
they're pretty funny people in California, though.
Yeah, there's funny people in California, but here's the thing. I mean, everybody comes to California from somewhere else, you know.
What about you?
I'm the only native-born funny guy from L.A. No, I'm kidding. I'm from California, so I'm one of the few. And me and Brody Stevens. All right, yeah.
Steven Brody Stevens.
Yeah, Steven Brody Stevens. He's from the San Gabriel Valley. He's from the San Fernando Valley. I'm from the San Gabriel Valley. The only two native-born funny guys in California. All right. Anyway, guys, we'll see you tomorrow night for tonight at 7 for our KFI show. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. The Phil Henry Show is produced by myself and my very good friend Dan Northcraft. And don't forget to visit our Phil Henry Show website shop. We've got all kinds of fun things there for Valentine's Day and beyond. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. See you tonight for the video cast. And remember, Monday night we're off. We'll be back Tuesday night. Monday it is Martin Luther King's birthday.
Phil Henry.